The second lesson, the epistle lesson, is recorded in the epistle of St. Paul to the Romans, the 13th chapter, beginning with the 11th verse. Here the apostle reminds us that the return of Christ at the end of time calls on us as believers to practice patient vigilance because we do not know when that day will come. This is also the sermon text for this morning. And do this, understanding the present time. The hour has already come for you to wake up from your slumber, because our salvation is nearer now than when we first believed. The night is nearly over, the day is almost here. So let us put aside the deeds of darkness and put on the armor of light. Let us behave decently, as in the daytime, not in carousing and drunkenness, not in sexual immorality and debauchery, not in dissension and jealousy. Rather, clothe yourselves with the Lord Jesus Christ, and do not think about how to gratify the desires of the flesh. Here ends the lesson. Grace, peace, and mercy be yours from him who is and who was and who is to come. Amen. The text that I'd like to consider with you is that gospel lesson, or the epistle lesson from Romans chapter 13, which was read for you just a few moments ago. In our coming Savior and King, dear fellow redeemed, there was a woman who was doing her Christmas shopping at the mall, a crowded mall. If you've been there in the last few days, you know that they're relatively crowded right now. She was tired of fighting the crowds. She was tired of standing in long lines in order to check out. She was tired of fighting her way down these aisles, looking for the gift that she finally found out had sold out 2 days before. Her arms were full of bulky packages, and she pushed the elevator door to get on, and the elevator door opened, and it too was full. But the occupants of the elevator grudgingly tightened their ranks once again to offer her a small space in which she could stand with her load of packages. As the doors of the elevator closed, she blurted out in a disgusted voice, "Whoever is responsible for this whole Christmas thing ought to be arrested, strung up, and shot." And a few of the other occupants of that elevator nodded their heads or grunted in agreement with her statement. And then all of a sudden, from somewhere in the back of that elevator, came a single voice that said, "Don't worry, they already crucified him." How true that is. That blunt statement from the back of that elevator is quite helpful in reminding us that this season that is often billed by so many as merry, jolly, and bright is also a season that can produce more than its fair share of stress, anxiety, and even what are known as the holiday blues. The countdown to Christmas is once again upon us. And you and I are here on the 1st of December with only 24 days left to buy, wrap, and mail presents, to bake cookies and make candy, to set up a tree and decorate it along with our houses, to go to parties, which are abundant at this time of year, to sing Christmas carols and go to extra worship opportunities, midweek opportunities here at church, to buy, stamp, and address, and then put into the mail those Christmas cards for friends and loved ones who are far away, and to worry about running out of time and money and energy. It is enough to make you push all the panic buttons and to blow all your fuses. Now, we don't have a great deal of difficulty with Christ's first advent, which took place when he was born as a baby in Bethlehem's manger over 2,000 years ago. If you didn't believe in that first coming of the Savior, you wouldn't be here in church this morning. You wouldn't bother to observe the Christmas celebration. You wouldn't sing carols or exchange gifts. You wouldn't celebrate at all. We don't have a problem with the first coming. But if I were to say to you this morning, only 24 days until Jesus comes back, you would probably label me as some kind of a religious nut, smile at my stupidity, and simply go on with your life. But it could be true. It could happen. The Bible tells us no one knows when that day or hour will come, only God knows. And so it could be in 24 hours, it could be in 24 days, it could be in 24 years, or it could be before I finish the sermon this morning. And so since the return of Christ can come at any moment, it's very important for us to take it seriously. And that's why the Apostle Paul encourages the Roman Christians and us in our epistle lesson this morning when he says, "Do this, understanding the present time. The hour has come for you to wake up from your slumber, because our salvation is nearer now than when we first believed. The night is nearly over. The day is almost here. So let us put aside the deeds of darkness and put on the armor of light." If you think that preparing for Christmas means simply that you have a tree in your house which you decorate, and that you have picked out the perfect gifts for your family and friends, then you need this wake-up call from God, which he offers to us here in this epistle lesson. Because while colorful lights and sugary snacks and parties and presents and family and friends are all nice features of this holiday season, and we wouldn't want to give them up, we cannot afford to miss the real message, the far weightier message of this season of preparation. Because whether we realize it or not, there are end time signs which are all around us. Signs which God has clearly presented for us in the pages of Scripture, talking to us about wars, rumors of wars, earthquakes, famines, and other things. All signs that his coming is indeed close. Now, those warning signs from the pages of Scripture will never be shown to you on these glossy ads which come to you in your mailbox. They will not be shown in those pop-up ads which come to you as you're surfing the internet. You will not see any last-minute sales before the last day which say, "Jesus is coming, 60% off clothing and all accessories to help you look your best for the last day." But that does not mean that the signs of the end are not present. Even though you and I cannot mark a specific day on our calendar and say that is the day that Christ is going to return, and I trust you realize there are plenty of false teachers out there who do that, but even though you and I cannot do that, that return of Christ as the judge of all mankind should certainly be on our radar scopes. It should affect how we think. It should affect what we do every day of our lives. And through the Apostle Paul, in our epistle lesson this morning, God is trying to wake us up to the real weight of Christmas, the reality that this present age in which we are living is winding down and is wrapping up. And that means we need to be awake. We need to be ready. Because as he says here, this age is soon to pass. But now, what's your reaction to the news that the second coming of Christ is indeed imminent? I think all too often we're like the little boy who was afraid to go into his room in the dark of night, and so he wanted his mother to go upstairs with him to his room. And she replied, "Son, there's nothing to fear. God is with you, and he will be with you when you go into your room." And finally, that youngster reluctantly trudged up the steps, and his mother followed him at a distance without his realizing it, and she heard him say as he got to his room, "God, I know you're here, but if you move anything, you're going to scare me to death." When you and I hear the Apostle Paul say to us, "The day of the Lord is at hand," that announcement should not terrify us. That announcement should not cause us alarm. Rather, it should be accompanied by great joy. It should be an announcement that fills our heart with joy because we're looking forward to his return as the judge of all mankind. And as a bride prepares herself for a wedding day, we're looking forward to the day when we're going to be invited to the marriage supper of the Lamb there in heaven, when he's going to return to take us home to be with him there in heaven. And that's a day of excitement, not a day of terror for us as God's children. The second coming of Christ is not a threat for us. Instead, it's a fulfillment of a grand and glorious promise that Jesus has made to each and every one of us as Christians. Because the day of the Lord, when the Lord returns as the judge of all mankind, that's going to be the day of our final redemption. That is going to be the day when there's finally going to be total peace on earth. Total peace that the Prince of Peace, who reigns supreme, is coming to bring us. And that's the day when all of the wrongs that we have suffered in this world are going to be made right. When justice is going to be meted out. And when the balance scales are finally going to be balanced. So the Apostle Paul says, wake up, be alert, be ready for that day, whenever it might come. And oh, how we need that warning and that encouragement to be prepared for that day, because so often it is the furthest thing from our minds. It's like the story which Paul Harvey related a number of years back about attending a Christmas parade in Wisconsin, and he watched as many elaborate floats passed by, and suddenly there was a hay wagon which was coming down the street, pulled by a tractor, and it went past, and on that wagon were several fraternity boys from the local university, and they were feverishly sawing boards and nailing things together. And the people, as they looked at that float, wondered, what in the world is this supposed to be? Until they saw the sign at the back of the float as it passed by, which said, we thought the parade was next week. They were not prepared to have their float in that parade. And that is exactly why the Apostle Paul here warns us, watch. Wake up, be prepared, lest when the Lord does return, he finds us asleep and unprepared. Listen how he goes on to describe that preparation. He says, let us behave decently as in the daytime, not in orgies and drunkenness, not in sexual immorality and debauchery, not in dissension and jealousy. Rather, clothe yourself with the Lord Jesus Christ. And do not think about how to gratify the desires of the sinful nature. Clothe yourself with Christ. As you and I clothe ourselves with Jesus Christ, our Savior, our actions will then also reflect Christ in our lives. In other words, the way we talk, the way we live, the way we look at other people, all those things are going to be impacted significantly as we clothe ourselves with Christ and let him motivate and guide our thoughts, words, and actions. In other words, when thoughts come into our minds, as the devil whispers in our ear, encouraging us to gratify and satisfy the desires of our sinful nature, the Holy Spirit will be there to remind us that our old sinful nature no longer needs to have control over us, because Jesus Christ, our risen Savior and King, is more powerful than our sinful nature, and that old sinful flesh has been drowned in our baptisms. And when that old sinful nature tries to rear its ugly head again and reassert its dominance over our thoughts and our attitudes, with the Holy Spirit's help, we can go back to that baptismal font. And we can grab that old sinful flesh and drown it, holding its head under the water until it gives up. Because Christ has given us that power. The more we reflect upon how much God loves us, the greater the power of his Holy Spirit grows in our hearts and lives and impacts how we think and how we choose to live. And there's one other very important thing to realize about the necessity of always being prepared. And that is the fact that isn't an encouragement for us just on Sunday mornings. As you gather with your fellow Christians, be prepared for the Lord's return. No, this putting on Jesus Christ in our lives and being prepared for his second coming is an ongoing lifestyle. It's a way of life for us. It's working through the twists and the turns of life, processing the things that happen to us in life, and making it a habit of taking all of these things to the Lord as the one that we can go to first to give us strength and encouragement to put one foot ahead of the other as we walk through this sin-sick life. It means turning to him in prayer, pouring out our hearts to him with all of the difficulties which we are facing day after day. It means turning to his word repeatedly for comfort and for counsel. It means recalling every day of our lives, as Luther encourages us to do, recalling our baptisms so that we remember whose we are and to whom we belong. It means dressing our hearts and minds with God's thoughts and God's love so that we know who he is and that his love then flows out from us as well. And that it flows out from us at the right time and in the right ways and for all the right reasons. Put on the Lord Jesus Christ every day. And then you'll be going through life wide awake. And you'll be ready for his return as the judge of all mankind. And I need to encourage you as well this morning. This is the time of the year when people will actually consider darkening the doors of a church when they have never darkened them throughout the rest of the year. Christmas and Easter are the two times of the year when people are open to invitations to come to God's house. As you live and clothe yourself with the Lord Jesus Christ and display that in your daily lives as God's children, it will benefit tremendously the people who are watching you and who are noticing you're different from the rest of the world. This is what Jesus encourages when he says, "Let your light shine before men so that they may see your good works and be led to glorify your Father in heaven." And who knows, this just might be the season of the church year when you are able to nudge someone who is in your acquaintances, your family, your friends, nudge them a little bit closer to Jesus, a little bit closer to the scriptures, a little bit closer to church, a little bit closer to you, close enough for them to hear the gospel, because the gospel is intended for their salvation as well as yours. Maybe this Advent and Christmas season might be the right time to talk to that person about Jesus and to invite them to come with you here to God's house. What better season to look for opportunities to invite them to come to church with you than right now? Not just to join you in preparing for Christmas, but even more importantly, to join them, you and them, in preparing for Christ's second coming. You know what time it is? The time, the season is late, the Apostle Paul says. So in these last days of the dark night of evil, with the day of the Lord closer now than it ever was, this is how you and I need to be going through our days. Not stuck in spiritual stupor, unaware of what's going on, and uninterested in doing what God has called us to do, but rather wide awake in genuine repentance. Wide awake in a living and active faith in our Savior. Wide awake, living in harmony with that new spirit our loving Lord Jesus has raised up within us. And you know what, dear friends? As you do that, it will also be really helpful and happy, a happy way for you to get ready for Christmas as well. Amen.